This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Tuesday, 16th of November, 2021, and markets still in a decent mood yesterday. We have a little interesting technical level we mentioned yesterday in the NASDAQ 100, similarly in the S&P 500, the 61.8% retracement. That was where we closed on Friday, tried to get above there yesterday, but closed right on the same level. And that's where we're trading now. So just below 46.80 on the future. Yesterday, not a terribly remarkable session, pretty much closed unchanged on the NASDAQ 100 as well. Some of the, I'm looking at some of the baskets, Peter, though, and it looks like some of the real speculative space not having a very good time of it yesterday. What's your take here?
No, that was a little bit of a reversion for sure in crypto and cannabis, also Indian bubble stocks. So maybe hints of some weakness to come. Also the mega caps, which represents the biggest part of the market, was down 0.7% yesterday. So yeah, but I agree, not a very terribly inspiring trading session, and also a very weak start this morning. So I, as I said in our internal call, I think the equity market will get its cue from the interest rates market. So that's where Altea is has her expertise, because I think the macro figures we have got lately suggests that we're getting closer to overheating. If you look at slide 3, the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office in the US, over the weekend updated estimates for Q3 output gap, and as you can see with the orange dot, we're now at zero. So basically the US economy has closed the output gap, and that at the same time we're still doing extraordinary amount of both fiscal and monetary stimulus. You can see the M2 money supply and the yearly growth rate. It's at 13%. That's the chart to the right. And to the left, you can see how much the fiscal deficit is in percentage terms of nominal GDP relative to the output gap. As you can see, we are in a total outlier environment. And I think that speaks into Dudley's talk yesterday about that the Fed is potentially making a major policy mistake on a scale we haven't seen for many decades if they don't soon rein in these things. So, and that's why I'm so focused on the interest rates, because I think that will be the next trigger for the equity market now that we have had earnings out of the way.
I can't remember where he put his opinion piece out, but he was indicating that he thinks the late correction, the risk is that they have to get rates to some level that's extremely punitive and could trigger the likes of an ugly crash or turnaround if they don't get ahead of it in a more gradual fashion. I'll tell you, we're still waiting for these long rates to do something. I mean, they've come back from those crazy lows we saw recently. What's your take here on what we should be looking for next, and what could take U.S. rates, for example, at the longer end of the curve, at least starting out to 10 years, to push towards those 1.75% highs?
Well, definitely what I will be looking at for this week, John, is going to be tomorrow 20-year auction. Last week we had quite ugly 10 and 30-year auction, which are popular tenors. The 20 years is a tenor that is mostly not so much liked or not so popular. So if we see weak demand, we can see the long part of the yield curve resuming the rise. However, John, yesterday we have seen the US yield curve bear steepening. And that has been quite unusual, because we have seen it bear flattening in the past few weeks. The main take there is that the move is consistent with what we have seen last week. So a sell-off on the long part of the yield curve, because there is the expectations that central banks will need to hike interest rate earlier. But also we had some positive growth numbers coming out yesterday from China and the US, where it was showing that the slowdown in China is less severe than expected. And also Empire Factory survey in the US was stronger than expected. So what we see that the bear steepening that we're seeing is pretty much growth driven at this point in time.
Yeah, and I've actually found the op-ed that Dudley did, former of the Fed, and New York Fed actually, and it was on Bloomberg. So I tweeted that out on the Saxo Market Call Twitter feed. If you want to have a look at that, he's an influential voice, and I think was a more sort of how should we say, competent figure, or at least authoritative figure on New York Fed than we've seen with Williams. All right, now switching over to where we're seeing a bit of moves in interest rate and expectations. We saw the Bank of Canada out with an op-ed, or the governor, Macklem, out with an op-ed in the Financial Times yesterday, basically making the point that they need to be humble and they are still expecting transitory inflation from supply chains, et cetera, that eventually are ironed out, but they have to be humble and admit they could be wrong. And if they are wrong, it's going to be the Dudley scenario where they have to play some catch up. So an interesting signal there. And we saw the Canadian yields coming up. We also saw an appearance from UK Bank of England Governor Bailey, who was out, and I'm not sure why the market really wants to listen to him after the terrible communication failure ahead of the most recent Bank of England meeting, in which he was far less hawkish than some of his previous comments had you know, suggested he would be. But we have a couple of things that have happened here. So first of all, he was out yesterday again in testimony before a parliamentary committee, said he was very uneasy with this, quote unquote, with high inflation, and however did see growth flattening out. We've also had a sort of vote of confidence in the UK, if you will, with Royal Dutch Shell dropping Dutch from its name and moving its headquarters exclusively to London in the future. A very interesting signal there. And I think that provided a bit of a sentiment boost as well. And then we had the jobless figures out from the UK this morning, the first post-furlough end jobless figures, very good on the payroll side with a minus or plus 160K. There. So we're seeing a sterling and quite a swell mood this morning. Euro sterling local new lows after recovering all of that territory lost over the Bank of England meeting. You can see that on slide 5, the euro sterling rate. Quite interesting if it approaches that 84 low. However, you see on the rate spread, we've actually been a little bit lower. So it's going to take some more doing to get that those expectations of the Bank of England back up to where they were at the very, very peak of some prior comments. I'll say on the gilt side of things, where is your focus here? Is it on the is it just on the front of the curve, or is it the whole shape of the curve is quite interesting here?
Well, I think that the overall gilt yield curve is quite interesting. Yesterday, we had some volatility in the belly of the curve of maturities between 3 and 7 years because the Bank of England had to postpone a bond purchasing operation to this Thursday due to operational issues. But also the long part of the yield curve is moving substantially. Yesterday, overall, the yield curve shifted higher from 2 years to 30 years by about 5 basis points. So the yield curve, it's quite active. As you can see on slide number six, I put the 10 years gilt yields, and now they're rising to test the 50 days moving average. If they break above this level, it's very likely to see them rising faster towards that 1.05% in yields. Obviously, what can push them higher today? Job numbers are definitely something that could push them higher, but we have also a 5-year gilt auction later in the day. Tomorrow we have inflation numbers coming out of the UK, and Friday we have the retail sales. So definitely bearish the whole curve at the moment.
Yeah, a lot of wood to chop, however, to get that yield back to where it was at its highest level above 120 basis points. It's interesting to watch that one, as well as, of course, U.S. yields, which you've mentioned, Peter, are a key focus of yours. And then putting in a rare appearance from our global risk indicator in today's slide deck. You can have a look at that on slide 7. It's an accumulation and sort of a reflection in terms of standard deviations around a moving average based on a number of risk metrics from corporate and other credit spreads to market volatility measures like the VIX, et cetera. And I would just note, it's kind of at an interesting spot here that it's as low as it is, given where we are with the MSCI world, US equity markets, how high they are, very close really to the all-time highs. I generally had created this indicator as a measure of risk appetite for emerging markets. And we've seen a bit of emerging market pain, a lot of that linked with the very strong dollar here, which I think becomes a broader issue if it strengthens much further. And, euro dollar is what we're used to looking at for the dollar, but a lot of that has just been a very, very weak euro And I'll just jump ahead a little bit to the FX overview slide on slide 9, just to point out, I mean, it's as much about euro weakness, and even more so, as you can see, the trend reading on the right there is even lower for the euro than the dollar reading is strong. We're seeing a big turnaround in sterling in terms of momentum, and gold and silver still strong after that big move higher. And then I put a little insert, Aussie dollar, looking at this, what some are calling a sort of a trend channel, or at least a channel that has developed a couple of touches on the top and the bottom, of course, to create that. Where are we with something like the Aussie dollar, which has come well back lower as the RBA has proved, still consistently dovish, even though their yield curve control policy was broken. And so we'll be watching the bottom of that channel, especially if risk sentiment worsens. But yeah, that's going to be something we'll have to watch for. It's not happening just yet. I just think there's interesting divergences. But in terms of single stock focuses today, Peter, what's on your radar?
Yeah, we have quite some news out in the European session. I've highlighted those on slide 8. It's some different piece of earnings releases from these four companies, except for Louis Vuitton that I mentioned, because Prada shares were up 5% in Hong Kong trading. You had some of the Macau casino operators beating expectations for their figures, and that is typically a decent indicator, leading indicator on luxury demand in Asia. So watch the luxury group today, Louis Vuitton, Kirin, Richemont, etc. The rest are basically just earnings releases that we flag and which could drive price action in these stocks that I mentioned, Paradox Interactive, Land Securities, Vodafone, and Europcar. But otherwise, we are looking ahead towards the earnings releases in the US today. We have Walmart and Home Depot. Interesting from an inflation perspective, but also just consumer demand. And then C Limited, as you can see in that small insert on slide 11, you know, growth rate is just blistering for this company. It's a Southeast Asian company with business segments within e-commerce, gaming, and financial transaction payments. So it's basically, very three very hot businesses that are basically put into one company. And as you can see, the share price has been a phenomenal ride over the past couple of years. So it's one of those that are traded a lot by Saxo clients. So we'll have a look at that, of course.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier, you've got another bond slide here. I'd say I mentioned earlier the euro just suffering so much on the growth outlook. We have that whole natural gas power crunch situation affecting forward growth potential. We have this, yet another wave of the COVID affecting sentiment, as we could be risking further limitations or new limitations on activity. Bond yields, they've sort of teased the high of the range twice this year. Once they sort of broke a little bit higher, and then they did it again recently, and now we're back sort of in the dumps and a bit in limbo here. Do you think we're going to find some resistance to these, resistance to prices, but some support in terms of yield in this market here? I'm assuming so, considering you're looking higher for yields elsewhere.
Absolutely. The thing is that, especially when looking at German bond yields, they are very much correlated to US Treasury yields. So if this week we see the yield curve bear steepening in the US and we see yields also rising in the UK, it's pretty safe to expect yields to rise also in the Eurozone. And in slide 10, I put a 10-year bond yield chart, and we can see that now 10 years bonds are above that support at minus 0.25%, and they can basically resume the rise towards minus 0.15%. There are also some few catalysts for that rise. Well, it could be the growth rate data for the third quarter of the year. And also tomorrow we have the inflation rate coming out and a 30-year bond auction. But definitely my expectations is for bond yields to continue to rise towards 0% by the end of the year.
All right, we'll have to watch for that. I think it's most interesting for equity markets, those longer yields, if they come back higher. Definitely a threat there to this negative real rate, and there is no alternative narrative, et cetera, especially on the valuation front. Okay, a busy economic calendar today. We're due to tune into slide 12 for the list there. Quite interesting, Central Eastern Europe, not just the geopolitical situation and the border, Poland-Belarus border showdown over these migrants, but as well Russian troops on the Ukrainian border. But we also have economic data, the Polish core CPI out today, and the Hungarian rate decision after those two sort of curious mini hikes of 15 basis points. Recently, they're expected to go 30 basis points this time as we crawl the rate higher in much more cautious fashion than, for example, the more impressive move from the Czech Central Bank. That's up later today. And the highlight of the week, U.S. data-wise, is the U.S. October retail sales. But other bits and pieces, as you can see, from all corners of the world for the rest of the day and into tonight as well. There is an Australian wage price index data point. Not expecting huge surprises there. A lot of Australian lockdown in Q3. But if it's an upside surprise, it's quite an interesting scenario as the RBA is fixating on wages as the key thing indicator for rate liftoff down the road. All right, that's a wrap for today. We'll be back tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.